Hello and welcome to another episode of Teach a Kid to Read podcast. As always, I'm Tony Kriz, and this is Teach a Kid to Read, where we believe that there's no such thing as illiterate children. There's just children who haven't had someone care about them enough to help them learn to read yet. And the yet is what's most important, and the yet is why we have Jessica Bowersox on today, because she works in the world of yet. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here with you.
Jessica Bowersox is the executive director of Smart Reading, which is an Oregon-based reading mentorship program. They give away books and put mentors in schools. She has been doing that since, 2000? When did you start at Smart?
Yeah, I've been at Smart for about 13, almost 14 years, and have been in the role of executive director for almost 2 years now at this point.
According to your bio, you play an integral role in setting strategic vision for SMART and working with the staff and board leadership to fulfill that vision. And what is that vision? An Oregon where all children can realize their full potential through reading. And their impact is that SMART Reading is a cost-effective model focused on kids empowered by volunteers with one-on-one reading practices and free books to keep. They directly help each young reader and deliver long-term benefits statewide by building literacy in each community. I could give you all of Jessica's resume. She's got awards and this and that, and she's got degrees from in journalism and communications from Oregon, and a degree from Willamette University, a master's from Willamette, and you've worked with Young Leaders Collective of the I Have a Dream Oregon and several other nonprofits and justice organizations. You've been changing lives, seems like, your whole life, Jessica. And now we get to sit here and talk about SMART and reading in Oregon, which I'm stoked about. You know, let's start here, if that's okay. Sure. You've been involved. I mean, again, I've been reading about you and all the different things that you've touched and all the different organizations you've been involved with. And you've landed on reading, specifically through SMART Reading. Mm-hmm. Why reading? I mean, it seems like with a life like yours, you could have gone 20 different directions. Why reading, and why do you think reading is so important, particularly among early readers?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that flattering snapshot of my background. I'm not sure I deserve all those accolades, but, you know, reading for me, I was always a very enthusiastic reader as a child. It was something I really treasured in my family, and something that I really enjoyed from a young age. I have really wonderful memories of sitting down and reading books every night before bedtime with my family. Where the Wild Things Are was one of our family favorites that eventually, you know, the cover was falling off the front. It was so well loved. And I developed a love of writing pretty early on as a child as well, and really knew that reading and writing were really important to my life. They were sources of escape, sources of learning, of opening doors to new worlds and possibilities. And as you mentioned, I have a degree in journalism from the University of Oregon. So really sought that career in writing, really thinking that that was what my path would be, was to set out to be a storyteller and a writer. And, you know, I may not come to where I am in the most conventional path to have landed in the nonprofit sector focused on literacy, but in some ways that does feel full circle, that my life as a child really began with such a love and appreciation for books and reading. Just to give a little bit of my background and how I landed here, you know, my background, I landed in the public relations field after earning my bachelor's degree in journalism, and was really fortunate to land in a local agency in the Eugene area that worked for a whole variety of clients, many of whom were nonprofits and were in the education space. So one of the accounts I first worked on was for the Springfield School District to help the district create an event called the Gift of Literacy, where the district bused all the first graders in the entire district to one location to do a special read aloud with a children's book author and gave every student a book to keep. And SMART was actually a partner to the district in that event. So that was my first introduction to SMART Reading. And I really knew, although I was working on a whole variety of accounts from Johnsonville Bratwurst to the Springfield School District, you know, a whole wide range in between, I really knew that the education and nonprofit related work resonated with me. I'm the child of a hospice social worker and a lifelong environmental conservationist and executive director. So it was just kind of in my blood, I suppose, to find my way to the nonprofit world eventually. So took a couple of other detours on that path, made the move to Portland in 2008 to work for a really large communications agency, and really knew for me what I was doing was not fulfilling in the long term. I really have a heart for mission and really need to really feel a sense of connection to the work that I'm doing every day, and that my daily work is making a difference in the world I'm in and in the lives of folks in the world and in my community. So I found the role at SMART to come to the organization as communications director. And that was really my first time working in the nonprofit sector, and really haven't looked back 13 plus years later, and really sought to be able to continue my path in the nonprofit world. Just loved SMART. It's absolutely an undeniable mission. It was something that had obviously resonated with me in my childhood, the importance of reading, and really, there's just such a beautiful simplicity in SMART's mission to spark joy and opportunity through the magic of a shared book. It's about relationship, connection, and really opening doors to possibility and access for kids through books and reading. So what is there not to love about that beautiful mission?
Right.
And it's just been a tremendous learning opportunity for me. I'm very grateful to have been given the privilege of stepping into the role of executive director about 2 years ago. And it's just been a phenomenal trajectory. And it's certainly a time where work such as this is needed more than ever following the pandemic, and seeing some really already existing major challenges with regard to early literacy in Oregon, seeing those exacerbated by the pandemic and other factors in our state like wildfires and other factors. So it's needed more than ever. And I'm really privileged and honored to be able to do this work.
Wow, that was fantastic. Probably I should do a disclaimer here. Teach a Kid to Read, we have a film department that does quite a number of films for organizations across the country. And we have done a couple, we've donated our team to do a couple of films for SMART to help recruit volunteers into their organization. I also have been a SMART volunteer and a reader in a school in my neighborhood. So I am a biased person in having this conference. People should know that I'm biased. I'm on the SMART team, you might say. So when we're having this conversation, I can't claim to be totally objective. So my enthusiasm might come through.
Noted.
So SMART, you know, we try to teach a kid to read. We travel the country. We're in dozens of states. Mm-hmm. Helping different organizations, doing promotion, inspiration, incubating new works, but also inspiring and supporting existing works. And one of the reasons why we come back home and are so thrilled to have SMART here in our home state of Oregon is SMART uniquely is a statewide. I mean, literally, I think you guys are in every county in Oregon.
Not quite, but close. We're in 30 out of 36 counties and three tribal nations also. So yeah, we span most of the state.
So truly statewide, and very much supported also by the state government and culture in general. You really are embedded as a part of being an Oregonian. Can you tell us more just about what separates SMART, or what, not even what separates, what do you love about it? What makes SMART distinct?
Yeah, well, as you said, you know, SMART is so embedded in Oregon. I find it's certainly, you know, something I really enjoy about my job when I'm out in the community talking about SMART. I generally find that folks, if they've been in Oregon for a number of years, know of SMART. Maybe they've been a SMART reader, they know someone who's been a SMART reader, or have some kind of connection to the organization. And part of that is that SMART's been around for 32 years.
Yeah.
SMART was founded in the early 90s by a group of community and business leaders who really sought to find a way for the private sector to get involved in public education and really recognize, and this philosophy is still really part of how we operate today, that ensuring children are prepared for reading and learning success is not a responsibility solely on the shoulders of parents and caregivers and of educators, but that it's really our collective responsibility as a community to be doing everything we can to ensure that these young people are really set up for success in every possible way. So they sought a way for folks to get involved in their local communities and really help move the needle on early literacy in Oregon. Importantly, they are founders based SMART's delivery model in research. It is built on research that shows that kids need two key things to learn to read effectively. They need time spent reading, that shared reading time, and they need access to books. So SMART's model was created with that evidence base to bring volunteers into community schools and their local neighborhoods to sit down each week and get to share a positive child-guided experience with children around books and reading, really supporting them in their literacy development, building their self-confidence, helping them feel so valued and important, and really nurturing that lifelong love of reading.
Right.
And on the access to books part, every other week, students in Smart Reading get to select a book of their choice to take and keep. So throughout the course of the school year, that looks like about 14 books that students are getting to take home to build their home libraries. Over the course of those 32 years that SMART's been in existence, we've given away over 4.5 million books to children across Oregon. Wow. And we've engaged hundreds of thousands of volunteers going into schools every week in their community, as you've done, Tony. And we've served over 250,000 students with that reading support and access to books.
Okay, I want to get into all that. Well, one question is a little bit side note question, just to do a little report, because we haven't been talking about this a lot on the podcast, but I think there's people are curious about it and they're concerned about it. Can you just talk about the impact of COVID on your work and if and in what ways you're sort of rebuilding coming out of that?
Absolutely. I'm sure like many listening and what we've all experienced in our own lives, it is tough to overstate the impact of the pandemic on daily life, on certainly any school-based environment. It really was, you know, I remember the feeling in March of 2020 as a SMART reader. I've also, like you, been a SMART volunteer now going on 13 years for me. And overnight, couldn't go back and say goodbye to those kiddos, right? That very next day, schools were closed. So it was a dramatically impactful period of time for Smart Reading. As I mentioned, we have a two-pronged mission, one that is oriented around shared reading through the use of community volunteers and also access to books. We could continue to provide books for kids, and that was really critical. And we were able to find a way pretty quickly to pivot and do that safely. So initially, service really looked like book distribution and ensuring that we were getting books into kids' hands. And in fact, we gave away far more books between March and June of 2020 than we typically would in a given year. We just did everything we could to get those books out, knowing that kids and families really needed those. You might remember, too, that 2020 brought the Almeda fire, where many students and families in Southern Oregon were impacted by losses of their homes and just devastation in their communities. So we really worked to mobilize the deep partnerships SMART has built over three decades in Oregon just to do everything we could to be supportive. Meanwhile, really worked to pivot and figure out how do we provide this service that we've always done in person for 28 years. Until March of 2020, how do we do this virtually? And I probably won't surprise anyone listening or you to hear that nonprofits don't typically tend to be, you know, early adopters on technology. We are not always the best with pivoting and the latest and greatest as far as technological tools. But we did our best to really figure out how do we bring our resources to bear and provide this program virtually. We piloted a couple different models. We created one that was kind of most like the one-to-one SMART model called Virtual SMART, where two volunteers were paired with one student in a virtual environment. We scanned in every title by hand. I did a lot of scanning myself into a virtual story room that volunteers could share their screen and present their screen and have students kind of decide and pick based on age, genre, interest, what they wanted to read, and then try to kind of emulate the most, you know, similar experience to reading in person. What we found was it was tough to implement. It was logistically complicated. We were all kind of new to the virtual environment and learning how to navigate and troubleshoot that effectively. We also developed a program that is called Classroom Smart that is still part of our offerings today, which is what it sounds, one volunteer reading to a full classroom of students. That can be done virtually or in person. And what we found in being responsive and receptive to the needs of our educator partners who were just in complete triage mode, it was provided an ease of implementation that was really attractive for our educators to be able to have all of the teacher students focused on a literacy-based activity for 30 minutes so they could catch their breath, do some planning, eat some food, figure out what comes next, yes. And just have a moment to gather themselves and deal with everything coming at them was really popular. And that was kind of an interesting learning that it was the first time we'd ventured away from this one-to-one tenet right. that's been so precious for us. Right.
Where's your volunteer force at now compared to before COVID? Was there a big downtick?
There was a huge downtick. Yes, it's coming back. It's coming back. It's not where it was. So in March of 2020, we had about 5,000 volunteers going into schools each week, reading with students. Overnight, we had zero. The first year or so, we probably had about 50 volunteers as we were piloting some of those programs. While schools were still closed and it was not an option to be in person, we had about 500 volunteers at the height of that sort of pandemic era virtual learning. Today, we're at about 3,000. Okay. So we've been building back. It's been a process, as you mentioned in your initial question. It has been a continual repositioning, rebuilding, and just really being as flexible as we can and really open and responsive to the needs of our educators and kids and families, and just doing our best to provide what it is they need.
Any of our listeners or viewers who are in Oregon or in Southwest Washington, whatever, go to smartreading.org and see about volunteering yourself. Let's get those numbers
back. Yes, please. That would be fantastic.
Back up over 5,000. Let's double that, triple that, quadruple that. There's needs. One thing that you mentioned, Jessica, that I just think is important just to restate a little bit is in our current climate change world, there's the sorts of obstacles that literacy organizations are up against. It's not just budgets and governments and school districts. We're up against, in certain parts of the country, we're up against hurricanes shutting down schools for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. We all experienced a pandemic that shut us all down for a couple of years. In Oregon, we have to deal with forest fires, and entire sections of the state can't go to school for large periods of time. And that really affects children's ability to learn. Mm-hmm. And one thing that that's true in every state is that there are some schools that are more resourced than other schools. There are certain schools where children show up and there are less resources, a more difficult formula to sort of get over these early hurdles of education. Can you talk about that just a little bit with SMART? Like, are you kind of co-equally in every school? Or are you considering which schools are Title I, which schools really need the support and sending volunteers there first?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked. Yes, we were, as part of our founding initially, intentionally serving Title I schools with high populations of students from low-income communities. And really, as you pointed out, knowing that those tend to be where resources are most needed and where literacy outcomes can be most challenging. So we've been really intentional about that through our history, focusing what are very limited resources where they can have maximum impact. So we have a variety of factors we consider when we select sites in our program. We have about 225 sites across Oregon right now that we're serving. And as those sites are coming into our community and getting online with service, we're looking at, are they a Title I designated elementary, public elementary school? What's the percentage of kids of color in the school? So looking for relatively larger percentages of students of color, as well as language learners. And also looking at what are their reading scores relative to state averages. We know that, unfortunately, the state average is not good. About 40% of Oregon's fourth graders are reading at grade level based on the latest assessment data from ODE. And, you know, we really have tried to be as intentional as we can to focus on the highest need sites and communities where we can have the most impact.
And in Indigenous communities, too, which is one thing I appreciate about SMART.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We have service with partnerships with three tribal nations across the state. Yes.
I grew up in a house where my grandmother was a grade school teacher, and my birthday every year there was a box with books in it. I can still, like, wow.
Oh, so sweet. That's clearly a really clear and treasured memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that feeling that someone cared enough to like think through where I was at my reading process, and she would choose specific books for me. And I just, the thought for me, my biographical experience is I can't imagine growing up in a home that didn't have just like books galore. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you guys do is you give away books. I mean, kids get to walk over and choose a book and grab it off and take it home with them. Can you just talk about why that's so important? Maybe what you understand about the actual availability of books in some homes and how that works and why giving away books is so important. Because a lot of people might go, well, all kids have books, like, you know, but could you just kind of give me some of your experience and knowledge around that?
Of course. I think I can also perhaps match some of the emotion with a story about what I witnessed just with a student a couple of weeks ago reading as a smart reader myself. You know, as you mentioned, you've seen one public school. There are a variety of resources available, right, school by school. And I read at a site in Beaverton and in Oregon, and there are a pretty high number of houseless students as part of this community, and just some really complicated challenges that kids in this particular school are facing, as there are in many schools. And I read with a student, a second grader named Callie, who's been working to learn to read this year. And she's made a lot of progress, but she's, you know, got a lot more progress to make. Our site coordinator, who's our leadership volunteer who runs each program, had been working with Callie throughout the course of the year. And Callie loves Elephant and Piggy books. Mo Willems books are real popular. I have daughters who are 3 and 6. So we're big Elephant and Piggy people. And before there was a regular volunteer to be able to be there to read with Callie, our coordinator, Jen, who's phenomenal, would read with her and really helped her process of learning to read with Elephant and Piggy books. So these are really treasured. Callie knows exactly where they are in the library. We read in the library at the school. She runs right to them. She grabs a big stack. She brings them over and we work our way through them. And when I showed up, I also will share that this child's father passed away recently, about 6 weeks ago. So the school and the school community is doing so much to support her. And my coordinator, I came in one day and she hands me an Elephant and Piggy book that I've never, it's an anthology. It's like this thick of Elephant and Piggy books. And she says, I found this over the weekend. I want you to give it to Callie. This is her book to take home today. So not only did she take home one Elephant and Piggy book, but she took home 20. And it was so beautiful and powerful. And as you are alluding to in the question, the ownership of books, access to books is hugely impactful for kids. And it may be something that some folks, based on what was available to you in your home, may take for granted, but it is not something that exists in every household. And the research tells us that it's critically important. So one of the research studies that is really key to SMART's theory of change and the evidence base behind what we do, conducted a study and found that the first 25 books that a student owns equate to 2 additional years of educational attainment. So from 0 to 25, each one is so important. Mm-hmm. And the next jump in educational attainment is not until 500 books. So those first books are so important. I came across another study recently that talked about literacy and numeracy were impacted for students by the presence of even one book in the home. They are such powerful tools for children that equate to future learning and development. And so we're doing everything we can to get more books into kids' hands.
In our transient commuter culture, there aren't very many places where neighborhood happens anymore, not the ways that it has historically, but the public school, the local public school, is still a place where neighborhood happens, where there really is a coming together of people from a variety of backgrounds, a variety of economic status, where the future of that neighborhood is really lived out in a very, very real way. Mm-hmm. And it's just a wonderful way to participate in the neighborhood life of and affect one of the most important components of a neighborhood, which is its local schools. Jessica, you've been great. And thank you so much for all of this. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you're like, oh, people, if they want to, they want to talk about volunteers, they should know about this or something. Is there anything that comes to mind? You're like, I would just love to say this before we go.
Well, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your care and attention on this. I know how much you care about it. And appreciate the work that you're doing to get the word out and help bring, you know, wonderful, viable solutions to really build literacy for kids in Oregon and far beyond. So thank you for what you're doing. And I've loved getting to share more information about SMART. If folks want to learn more and talk about volunteer management and early literacy, contact SMART Reading, smartreading.org. I'm happy to have a conversation with anyone and would love to talk about how we do our work and also learn from others.
Jessica Bowersox of SMART Reading at smartreading.org. She's the executive director and a wealth of wisdom. Thank you so much for your time today. This is
Thank you, Tommy.
Teach a child to read. Give a child a chance. It's as simple as that.